Faithfulness isn't flawless. Case number 012. Status, open. Subject, multiplicity. One life with many roles. Alias, unknown. It's late again, and I'm back at my living room desk that thinks it's a workshop, a homeschool table, and a command center all at once. Right now, it's buried under sketches, lesson plans, and notes from the last few weeks. I look at them like suspects caught whispering every time I turn my head. This is my crime scene, depending on the day. Field note, evidence everywhere, but no crime committed. There has been so many moments when a thought starts echoing in my head, and I can't rest until I find where I wrote it. So I start moving things around, papers, piles, pages. It's like someone kicked over the file cabinet in my head and left me to go through the evidence. I like to spread the papers across the floor like flashcards, each one trying to prove its point. Homeschool here, business there, finances over there. And then there's the pile I call, I forgot about you, but don't know where to put you right now, so if I don't handle you soon, I'll forget you again for the next 6 months pile. Sure, I could label it implementation needed, but that extra line, the what happens if I don't, that's the part that reminds me how what I do or don't do affects others and me. Field note, suspect appears to be a methodical mess maker with clear motives. And between us, I think that suspect might live here. And that's when I caught myself smiling, because it's true. And so tonight, I'm reopening a cold case. The folder is labeled multiplicity, but I call it the case of the stacked notebooks. Now, why does it keep resurfacing? Why do we keep finding ways to split one whole life into compartments? That's where tonight's investigation begins. Do you ever feel that way? Like your mind is managing projects that all share the same password? What I mean is, you keep using the same part of your brain for everything. Family plans, business ideas, dinner prep. It's like one login for an entire life. If you're new here, this is the part of the case where I let you into the scene. Not to analyze it yet, but to notice it. I used to think that meant I was disorganized. Now I know it means I'm organized when I'm moving. I need motion to think. I need to take action on my ideas so that it all clicks. My brain loves systems, but the minute I try to write my thoughts, my pencil rebels against every margin. I'm organized only when I'm in motion, structured only in portions, if that makes sense. I'm the person who builds a desk from scratch, but forgets where she leaves the keys. My mom once gave me a necklace made out of those jumbo clips. It worked for a while, but it also made me sound like a custodian for 2 days, so I learned my lesson. Anyways, the whole scene with my papers looks ridiculous if you don't know what I'm doing. It's like I'm the executive of a one-woman staff meeting with papers everywhere. Can you imagine? My little droid figurines lined up beside my laptop like tiny witnesses watching the whole event unfold. And my coffee is cooling faster than my brain can process. Somewhere between sorting papers and petting the children, that's what we call our dogs, I remind myself that this isn't a problem to fix, it's evidence to follow. Now keep in mind, messy papers isn't the same as a messy life, although others would say otherwise. Well, maybe the problem isn't that I do too much, maybe it's that there are layers of purpose trying to live in one body. Culture calls it overwhelm when we get stuck in these thoughts. Scripture calls it a layered way of stewardship. Stewardship simply means taking care of what's in your hands. If you're layered like me, you know the feeling of trying to speak in 5 places at once. When I really look at the scene, all these piles of papers and projects, they're clues. Each one has its own voice, its own format, and its own little accent. But within everything, they keep repeating a similar message. So I tilt my head, tap the pencil, and whisper to myself, what if these aren't 5 separate roles? What if it's one story written in different formats? And that's when the reflection turns. We've been staring into the world's mirror for so long, trying to measure our worth by what we see reflected out there. But what happens when the reflection stares back? Culture celebrates the multitasker. It praises the idea of a juggling act. Look how she does it all. I wish I could be like her. But scripture calls us stewards, not performers. We seek integration, not applause. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men. Colossians 3:23. This case isn't about the mess. It's about the meaning beneath it the design hidden in the clutter. Because maybe what looks like chaos in your hands is actually entrusted order. Entrusted order means God entrusts us with fragments of his finished plan, pieces that look incomplete to us because we're not seeing the full picture yet. Order that's entrusted, not yet revealed. As 1 Corinthians 4 says, we're stewards of what he's entrusted, not to perfect it, but to be faithful in it. And Colossians 1:17 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This isn't self-help. It's Christ holding the parts. So even when life looks like a pile of messy parts, it's really one whole story in his hands. God holds every piece together, even the ones that don't make sense yet. We're following a new lead, one that might explain why clarity feels divided even when your assignment is not, and learning to see the thread that ties it all together. So tonight's case begins with a simple question. When did order start feeling like overload? And how do we trace it back to the one who designed order? Because that's where identity always begins, back with the designer. Over the next few minutes, we'll follow the clues, one reflection at a time, until the pattern comes into focus. Between mother, builder, disciple, and creator, one root still holds steady, waiting to be named. But before we start collecting evidence, let me ask you something. When you look at your own reflection, do you see the steward God named or the standard the world trained you to chase? I want you to think, belonging first, then doing. Being rooted in a steady identity before you perform any role. By the end of this case, you'll see what's been dividing your view and discover how it all connects under one architect. And before this case closes, we're going to find it. Welcome to the Brand Fusionist Podcast, where faith, family, business, and brand strategy don't compete. They come together in quiet strength and steady purpose. Whether you're a builder of homes or brands, a storyteller finding your next sentence, or a creative woman learning to listen for God's direction in the noise, you belong here. I'm Magdalena, brand strategist, multi-passionate mentor, and a woman learning what it means to be faithful in every season, at home, in business, and in the heart. This is where identity meets voice, where we learn to build with discernment and walk with peace, so our lives speak truth even when the world gets loud. Faith, family, future, business with purpose. Let's walk this path together. We're back in series 3, the identity case files. Last time, we traced how comparison clouds clarity when we start measuring ourselves by the wrong mirror. But once the mirror clears, something else comes into view, all the pieces of your life you've been trying to connect. This week, we're shifting the lens because when you stop comparing, a new pressure shows up, the pressure to hold everything together. I've got a new case on the desk and a strong lead on our next suspect. She looks a lot like us, multi-layered, responsible, and trying to keep every piece aligned. They call her the woman who does it all. She's been misidentified, and that's why this case hits close to home. First, let's define what we're dealing with. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to define yourself without listing what you do? We say things like, I'm a mom, I'm a designer, I'm a student, I'm building a business. But if all the doing stopped for a while, who would you say will still be there? That question isn't meant to scare you. It's meant to steady you. Because identity doesn't start with description. It starts with design. The world defines identity by output. What you build, what you produce, what you're known for. It's the resume version of worth, titles, images, metrics. That kind of identity is fragile because it depends on performance and perception. When one role shifts or success slows down, the whole structure shakes, and you end up adding more titles just to keep your image in check. But the word says identity isn't something you build, it's something you receive, who you already are in Christ. Think chosen, adopted, beloved, secure. And that identity comes by believing in what Jesus already did, not by what we do. He gives us a new life because he paid for ours. That's grace. And grace means we don't earn our name. We receive it. Colossians 3:3 says, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hidden means secure. Your foundation doesn't shake when roles change. Think about Gideon in Judges 6 verses 11 through 16. He called himself the weakest in his family, but God called him a mighty warrior before he ever lifted a sword. That's the picture. God names us from his truth, not from our timeline. So it's not that building is bad. It's about who's holding the hammer, or better yet, who's drawing the blueprint. When God holds the plan, the foundation stays steady. When fear or comparison grabs the pencil, cracks start to form fast. You're not building many lives. You're living one life with many layers held together by one architect. So if your life feels like a dozen open tabs, no judgment here, and if your life feels like a stack of unfinished projects, you're not at a loss. It's just a file waiting to be opened, or maybe reopened. Field note, alias, the connector. Primary method of operation, overcommitting every role in an effort to keep peace. Weapon of choice, busyness disguised as responsibility. Oh, case update. Behavioral summary, appears highly capable, deeply caring, and slightly exhausted. Motivated by meaning, but missing the map. Keeps building new structures instead of repairing what's already been given. When my boys were little, we would dump the Lego bins in some Lego plates, like the green ones for grass, blue ones for water, gray ones for streets. But before we started building a city, my boys would always ask, "Where should the houses go?" And I'd say, "Let's look at the roads first, because the roads decide where everything connects." And you know that mayhem guy from the insurance commercials? The one who crashes into everything just to prove a point? Well, that's basically me when I play. I start all calm building something simple. Then 20 minutes later, whatever roads they built, I end up causing accidents and blocking intersections. Then one of them, whoever I'm playing with at the time, says, "Mommy, you can't do that." I hear it all the time. And I go, "Why not?" And he'd say, "Because you're blocking the way." I do it on purpose, mostly for fun, but to also see their reaction to make them rethink the design of their city. But as I think back on those moments, it reminds me that my paper piles are a lot like that situation, a half-built Lego town of my own. No connecting streets between it all and blockage. Does that make sense? And that's when I started sketching in my mind this idea of what I'm calling now the neighborhood blueprint. So, before we grab our clipboards and construction hats to explore this concept, this isn't a city of career paths or promotions, okay? We're not talking about that. It's a map of entrusted assignments, the roles and responsibilities we steward in obedience to Christ. Let me explain it simply, and then we'll walk it together. Our calling is to Christ and to Him alone. He is the architect and the mayor of our neighborhood blueprint, the one in charge of design and authority. Within that calling, He entrusts us with assignments, roles, and responsibilities we steward in different seasons, like marriage, motherhood, homeschool, business, church, caregiving. We don't choose our assignments just because they fit in our plans. God gives them as part of His order. Our part is to follow His lead and serve inside His design. If you can imagine the blueprint with me, then follow these examples. The buildings are those entrusted roles. Every building has a purpose. For example, my marriage is one, motherhood is another, our homeschool, our household management, and even my business. Each has its own little address. And then there are the roads. Roads are your values shaped by Scripture. They hold everything together, how each role connects to the next. Things like faithfulness, humility, discernment, peace. Roads help truth travel between the buildings. When the roads are solid and strong, the city flows. But when cracks appear, traffic stops. Cracks in the road are hurry, pride, and comparison. And that's what happens when I start doing too much in my own strength, or when I start comparing my street to someone else's. It's like taking a detour that was never on my map. So when roads crumble, traffic stops. And what do you think happens after that? Even good buildings feel far apart because the cracks don't allow you to get there. Christ isn't just the center of the city. He's the authority over it. He gives order to what looks disordered. He defines where each building belongs and what purpose it serves. And when I forget that, I start playing city planner without a permit. Sometimes we think the answer is to build more. Often, the wiser move is to repair a road. You ever notice that? That when things start to feel scattered, it's not the structures that need more work. It's the roads, the connections, that need alignment. The same thing happens in relationships. And this matters in business and brand strategy too, especially when your brand carries your name. Brand clarity is when your outer work matches your North Star. My North Star is Christ. It's not inventing who you are. It's about aligning your message, your service, your relationships with who God already said you are. That's when your message starts to sound less like marketing and more like ministry. For faith-curious listeners, think of it as integrity. Integrity simply means wholeness, inside, outside, and being the same person in every room with whoever you're speaking to. It's when your tone at home matches your tone online, when your private priorities match your public promises. People don't trust polish alone. Polish as in the shiny surface, like pretty graphics and polished posts. People trust alignment, a steady voice that sounds the same at home and online. Polish can catch attention. Alignment builds trust. Aim for alignment first. Polish will follow. Let me bring this closer to the heart. In our house, we use nicknames. My husband is Precious from The Lord of the Rings back when it first came out in the movies. We actually both use that nickname. It's now referenced as Pepish because my oldest son, when he was little, couldn't say it right. Now just imagine hearing me yelling out in the grocery store, Precious, 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 where are you? Yeah, it happened. And he's not the type of person to answer back if I'm causing attention. Our boys are called the droids, of course, from Star Wars, because we call our dogs the children. Occasionally, you'll hear my husband say, where are the droids? And I would say, did you feed the children yet? Those names live in love and history within our little family. We name them for relationship. That's relational identity, not earned identity. God names us not by what we do, but by who we belong to. He calls us chosen, adopted, beloved. Ephesians 1:5, He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ. We are named in love, not named by output. As we navigate purpose, we wrestle with self-judgment, especially when our lives don't fit neatly into one title. And for a fusion woman, a woman who chooses to connect her many roles under one mission in Christ, this tension feels stronger. We start to believe our roles are competing because the world treats identity like a single output. We treat our lives like a pie chart instead of a pattern. So identity becomes role-based instead of Christ-based. Then we start measuring our worth by old victories or future dreams. Self-comparison sneaks in when we grade today's faithfulness against yesterday's highlights, or a version of ourselves we haven't even become yet. So going back to my paper stacks on the floor, when seen from above, they form a neighborhood. It's my entrusted assignment map. God is the architect, and stewardship looks like learning to see the blueprint instead of the mess. So if the city is designed and the roads exist, how do we move inside it without losing peace? Which roads need repair? And also, where did comparison convince you to start building before checking the architect's plan? We all do it. We start a project, take on a role, say yes before we pause to see if it aligns with what really matters. So let's measure the clues. Field note, case number 012, continued. Evidence bag labeled, connection pressure. Timestamp, midnight. Every case has its pattern. Every mirror has fingerprints. On this board, we'll trace three stages. The block shows us what's clouding truth. The breakthrough reveals what God restores. And the brand vision is how the story reemerges in what we build. Let's open the first file. Okay, the evidence from last week is still warm. Every time I think the comparison struggle is cold, it shows up again. Not stealing with noise this time, but hiding inside the systems we build. Comparison hides in our systems, and every pattern points to a new layer of the case. This one, it isn't about measurement anymore. It's about management, the pressure to hold it all together. So we're following three new leads, the block, the breakthrough, and the brand vision. Each one reveals what happens when identity feels divided, but God's design stays whole. Sometimes, the hardest part of clarity isn't the noise around you, it's the names you quietly file under truth. You know, the ones written by you or by others in pen in the back of your mind. You're too extra, too lazy, too scattered-minded. We let outside reactions define us before the word does. That's the false file, belonging, measured by busyness. There was a moment from Taekwondo, my son and I were leaving class, a child was saying goodbye to some other boys by name, and then another voice behind him shouted his name back, and he was surprised because he didn't know that boy. And so he asked his mom, "Mom, how does he know my name?" And the mom replied, "Because you're annoying." I feel bad for the little boy, but I laughed to myself when I heard that. And I can relate that story here today because it makes sense. We don't always control how others perceive us. We also don't know what people say behind our backs until we are confronted with it. And that says a lot, don't you think? Maybe people see something about us we don't. Sometimes identity is visible even when we don't recognize it yet. That's true of faith too. Our fruit identifies us. It says, you will know them. It says, you will know them by their fruits, found in Matthew 7, verse 16. Now here, Jesus said this about false teachers. But the fruit principle helps us all, because it's what we multiply. So we should stop asking, how do I look? And start asking, what does my life reveal? Sometimes our presence comforts others, and sometimes it irritates. But both reveal how we leave a mark, and our kids and the people we interact with are watching. I don't know about you, but it's a good lesson in the house with boys. Labels from the world describes output. Names from God describes belonging and purpose. You can feel this in every season. Moms feel it when the dishes stay stacked higher than their confidence, and they start believing productivity proves love. Wives feel it when they serve quietly and wonder if being unseen means being unvalued. Single women feel it when every "So, what do you do again?" sounds like a pop quiz on purpose and value. Entrepreneurs feel it when the algorithm rewards the loudest voice and silence feels like failure. The world teaches us that value equals visibility. If you're living divided, faithful in many directions, managing roles that all feel important, the world might call it chaos, but Scripture shows us connections. 1 Corinthians 12 says, "There are many kinds of service, but the same Lord." And Colossians 1:17 says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." This verse shows me that even when I can't see how the pieces connect, God holds order over it all. So even when your life feels like a patchwork of tasks and titles, he sees one steady design. What looks like a mess to you is seen as stewardship by him. Faithfulness in the unseen places is still seen by the one who assigned it. The hardest part about identity isn't deciding who you are. It's realizing how many voices have already tried to decide it for you. Field note, suspect behavior confirmed. The world keeps letting comparison, comments, even performance try to name us before Scripture does. The block has been identified. Field note, new clue found. Connection wasn't the problem. Confusion about what connects was. Remember that Lego scene I shared earlier, the one with the roads and the houses? That file's back on my desk tonight, and I think we missed something the first time. Every road in that city represented something deeper: values, truth, faithfulness. The problem was that we didn't pause long enough to ask, which road connects everything under one identity? Picture it again. Each house represents a role: homeschool, home life, business, ministry. When I saw my paper stacks scattered across the floor, I realized I'd built plenty of houses, but no streets, no real connection. Because if the roads don't connect, then the city doesn't move. And if our values don't connect, our identity gets divided. And it isn't held together by our effort, it's held together by grace. To me, it looks like a mess, but in Christ, that same mess becomes a map, ordered, intentional, connected. And some of you might be wondering, and why should we care? Well, because disconnection doesn't just clutter your desk, it clouds your purpose. When the pieces of your life stop talking to each other, peace gets quieter too. You start showing up in one space while worrying about another. You're physically present, but mentally managing traffic between unfinished roads. The cost of disconnection isn't feeling unaccomplished. It's fragmentation. And when your soul lives in fragments, It's hard to recognize the story God wrote. That's why this matters. Because clarity isn't about productivity, it's about presence. And that's the moment many of us freeze. We're building houses, our roles, but forgetting the streets that connect them under one identity. We're expanding, but losing sight of the purpose behind it all. So let's turn the mirror the right way. Here's the breakthrough. Identity doesn't begin with what you build. It begins with who builds through you. When Christ is the architect, you stop trying to make each role compete for importance. God's the true builder. We just build what He's already designed. We don't create the plan. We discover it by staying close to Him. Home, business, family, ministry, all fed by one foundation. They start working together like one city with many addresses. That's how stewardship looks when it's seen correctly. And that's how clarity begins to replace comparison. Because when your roads connect, your reflection changes. You stop seeing chaos and start recognizing design. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in His own image." Colossians 3:3 says, "For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Scripture reminds us that we bear His image. Our lives are kept in Him. Culture says, build your identity. The Word says, receive it. The difference is who's holding the hammer. When Christ holds it, the city has a foundation. When fear or comparison holds it, we keep patching cracks without fixing the road. Now watch how this changes the neighborhood blueprint. If home is a building and the road is peace, then peace becomes the traffic law for every other street. From how you speak to your kids, to how you talk to your husband after a long day, to the dinner table conversations, and even how you email clients. If business is a building and the road is truth, then truth becomes your compass, guiding how you price your offers, how you promise, how you build trust without pretense. If church or service is a building and the road is humility, then humility becomes your guardrail, keeping your service from turning into a show. We stop asking what building should be the tallest, and we start asking which road connects them all. Field note, new pattern emerging. The blueprint was never about the size of the buildings, but the strength of the roads. Field note, new suspect identified, the notebooks. Alias, multiplicity. Primary method of operation, dividing itself into compartments. Motive, management. Case status, open. And that's when I realized how I filed my notebooks under a different label, hoping it would make sense later. These were fragments of a story I tried to separate so I could control the outcome. But they were always meant to live together. This time, we're not filing them away. We're tracing the connections. So what does this mean in the way you show up in your daily assignments? Well, my identity is in Christ first. That is my safe place. My voice comes from that place. So I speak with truth. I speak with peace. At home, with family, and online, I sound the same. Then I steward what God gives, my marriage, my home, my work, my church. I care for them with care and order. I move at peace, pace, step, not a rushed one. This is how it shows up each day. I choose one next faithful step. I fix a road, a value, before I build a new house, a role. And I surrender the whole city to Jesus. When I look at my desk, papers, notebooks, post-its, plans, it looks like clutter. I tell myself I'll organize them later. Then later turns into weeks, and I realize these aren't just random notes. They're pieces of something God entrusted to me. Some pages hold business ideas, others prayers, a few scribbles from a Sunday sermon, or a thought I had while folding laundry. All mixed together, it looks unfinished, but it's not meaningless. That's what I mean by entrusted order. God doesn't hand us tiny little labeled folders. He lets us notice moments of His perfect order, ordinary pieces of life that quietly fit into His bigger plan. He gives us assignments in seed form, scribbled in the margins of ordinary days, and calls us to be faithful with what's in our hands. Not to earn His love, but because we already have it. Sometimes we mistake busyness for obedience. We fill every moment until we can't see what's already been given. But order isn't about doing more. It's about trusting what's already been placed in our care. So when I finally sat down and started stacking papers and sorting ideas, I realized something. Maybe the papers on my desk aren't clutter. Maybe they're clues. Maybe God is teaching me that stewardship starts before the system makes sense. Even when it looks messy to me, God's plan is already in place. My job isn't to produce faster. It's to steward faithfully. Field note, case update, new pattern confirmed. The notebooks were never the problem. They were evidence of a woman trying to make sense of her entrusted roles that were never meant to live in separate chapters. And that's the picture of a faithful woman, a believer learning to live from what God designed, not what the world demands. Connection over division. Integration over imitation. Grace over grind. Connection was the clue all along. And now for our field kit. The habits that keep the case from reopening. We never close a case with conclusions only. We need practices that keep the pattern from repeating. So here are your tools. The ones that keep a reflection clear when comparison tries to creep back in. Now, these aren't quick fixes. They're reminders. Because identity isn't something you stop working on. It's something you steward daily. Tool 1, the name tag test. Say this to yourself. Today, I'm serving as a builder, a creator, or a coordinator of fill in the blank. My roles may rotate, but not my foundation. My name in Christ doesn't change. I am His. This simple habit helps you separate from doing from your being. For the faith curious listener, think of it like reminding yourself that worth comes before work. You're not trying to earn your name. You're remembering the one that was already given. Tool 2, the paper stack sort. You can picture this like tracing fingerprints, looking for what God keeps repeating across your week. Okay, so remember those piles on the floor in the beginning of my story? Well, now they become part of the practice. Lay out your papers, notebooks, and projects. Even check on your digital notes. And lay out side by side what you can. You're not just looking for repeated words. You're looking for repeated motives or values that show up across different areas of your life. A pattern that ties them all together. You're investigating recurring evidence of problems that keep resurfacing, ideas that won't leave you alone, and patterns of desire or resistance. Ask these 3 questions. 1. What keeps repeating? A topic, problem, or idea that won't stay quiet? 2. Where does it show up in more than one place? Maybe in your client notes, conversations, and your notebooks? 3. What might it be pointing to? A message to share? A skill to teach? Or a place where God's doing heart work? Example, you notice every list you write mentions people getting stuck halfway through. In homeschool, in business, or in another area. Your homeschool notes talk about kids losing focus. Your client feedback mentions people struggling to finish what they start. Your notebook says you're confused, overwhelmed, and unable to focus. All of this relates with the theme of completion or clarity, and that's a clue. It may reveal both spiritual and a business opportunity to invest further on. When you spot that pattern, write it down in your field notebook and name it. Maybe it's called completion, courage, or structure. It might be the very thing you're meant to bring clarity to, both for yourself and others. Basically, you're asking where and why do I keep circling the same need or idea? That insight can fuel a transformation story or even a digital product because it's where your personal refinement meets your public assignment. Then ask, how can I build with this theme this week? That's how transformation starts. The same story stops repeating as a frustration and starts repeating as a framework. Now that the pages are gathered, the next step is learning how to speak from them. All right, are you keeping up? You're investigating recurring evidence of problems that keep resurfacing. This shows the block to resolve. Ideas that won't leave you alone. This shows the assignment you might be meant to build. And then patterns of desire or resistance. These show where alignment or repentance may be needed. That's your connecting road, the value or truth that ties your houses together. Field note, connection reduces chaos. Naming the thread builds roads where blockage used to be. Tool 3, the candle rule. A candle doesn't light every corner, just the space it's placed. So, before you start the day, ask, where am I placed today? If it's home heavy, maybe that means giving your best energy to meals, bedtime routines, or teaching moments. If it's work heavy, Maybe it's focusing on one clear message, one client, or one creative project. Guard the flame that keeps you present, because a flame can flicker out, but a steady flame stays lit. For faith-rooted women, that's prayer and presence with Christ. For the faith-curious, it's practicing intention, choosing to show up where your peace feels assigned. And the last one is tool 4, the capacity lines. Write 3 short headings on a sticky note: people, project, and prayer or pause. For people, write who I'm showing up for today. For project, write what really brings progress this week. And then for prayer or pause, write when I'll be quiet, even for 5 minutes. This is something you rewrite daily and review weekly. If something doesn't fit inside those 3 lines today, it moves for tomorrow. Because rest doesn't mean quitting, it's trusting the process. Field note: reflection clear, roads identified. Now it's time to see what this means for how we build and how we're seen. Field note: truth confirmed. Let's bring this evidence back to the source. 1 Corinthians 12 verses 4 through 6. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, varieties of service, but the same Lord, and varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. The evidence shows that variety isn't confusion, it's design. God empowers the diversity. Every role has purpose. As I said earlier, Colossians 1:17, it says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." What appears separate to us is held together in him. Christ is the thread that connects every role, every road, every story. Even when the map looks fragmented, the foundation is still firm. Romans 8:28. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." God unifies and holds it all together. What looks divided in your hands is whole in his. This is how we trade comparison for communion. This is how we turn reflection into revelation. That's your threefold truth: wholeness in Christ, unity in your entrusted roles, peace in your faithful stewardship. That's how you close the loop. Field note: suspect captured. That whisper that says your worth depends on how well you manage it all has been confronted with truth. Case status: resolved. For now. But the next file's already on my desk, and something tells me the story behind performance runs deeper than we thought. I think I will keep this line open. Now, one unresolved question before we close, something to carry into the next case. We've traced the reflection long enough to see it clearly, but what happens when it starts to answer back and we can't tell who we hear anymore? That's where the next investigation begins. Action for the next 24 hours: grab a sheet of paper and draw 3 boxes. In each one, write 3 main roles you have. For example, for me, it would be home, homeschool, business. Under each box, write 1 word from scripture or your values, like peace, truth, or steadiness. This will represent the road. If the same road shows up under more than 1 box, circle it. That circled word is your main road this week. Put it on a sticky note where you work or where you'll see it often as a reminder. You don't need to build many identities. You carry 1 identity anchored in Christ. Your roles are entrusted, not competing. Your value is steady, not shifting. And when you learn to live from unity instead of hurry, faithfulness begins to feel like peace, not performance. Faithfulness isn't balance, it's alignment. Wait! Hold on. Field note: there's a new lead. An unexpected call is coming through. For now, if this case helped you interpret your clues instead of cleaning them up or tossing them into the trash, share this episode with a friend who needs to hear it. And if you'd like to learn more about building a digital business that fuses faith, family, and purpose, go to brandfusionist.com and join the waitlist to be the first to know when the Fusion Compass Path Academy opens. The link will also be found in the show notes. Faith, family, future, business with purpose. This is the Brand Fusionist Podcast. Wait, hold on. Hello? I hear something. It sounds like a whisper through static. We will see where that trail leads next time.